Welcome, everybody. We are back. This is the first of three podcasts this long, glorious, sexy weekend of wrestling. Yes.
It hasn't even typically started. I'm already exhausted.
It was a wild weekend in wrestling. But first off, I'm going to go off script because I'm going to talk about something that pisses me off. So I'm angry. I'm fucking angry. And I'm angry because they made a female Silver Surfer. Who the fuck told Disney and Marvel to make a female Silver Surfer? Why would they do that? Why would they do that? I guess it's because, oh my God, I guess they're going woke, and they're woke, and they decided to make a female Silver Surfer. I am so pissed off about this. Soon as they cast this woman, I just lost my shit. I was like, there's no way that you're going to make a woman Silver Surfer. A woman Silver Surfer. And you're going to put her in a movie. That doesn't make any sense. I was so pissed off. And I'm not pissed off because I hate wokeness. I'm pissed off because I actually thought I knew where they were going in MCU. And they were like, no, we're bringing in the female Silver Surfer. And I was like, wait, how are you doing this? Not because she's a woman. I'm saying, how are you doing this? Because first off, she got her powers from her husband, who is Norn Rand, who is the actual Silver Surfer. She exists. She's a real person. She actually exists in the comics. I've read the comics where she exists, but she got her powers from her husband. And then at one time, they were Silver Surfers together. Here's the problem. I thought I knew where it was going, and I'm mad because now I don't know where it's going. Am I mad that there's a woman Silver Surfer? No, I don't care, because she's canonically actually in the comic books, so I don't give a shit because I read the comics and I know that she exists. Like, half of the motherfuckers that are complaining about the X-Men that have no fucking idea what's going on in the X-Men because you never picked up a fucking comic book, and you are just a fucking degenerate asshole who wants to scream into the void about some bullshit that you don't fucking know about. And then you get mad and you say, oh my God, they're going woke. They're doing this. You never read a fucking comic book a day in your life, and you want to complain because you're a bitch ass Mark. You don't know what the fuck is going on. So shut the fuck up. Sit there. Go eat your fucking Captain Crunch or your fucking chicken tenders that your mom made you because you're a fucking bitch. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Never talk about comics if you never picked up a fucking comic. Fuck you. Now, let's get on to somebody who else was pissing a bitch. CM Punk. Holy fuck, CM Punk was wilding. That shit was amazing.
I watched it, yeah.
That shit was amazing. And I know people are like, well, what was so amazing about it? He literally was saying stuff that we've been saying for years about AEW. And now people are like, half of the people are up in arms because he said it. The other half are saying, you know what? I never thought about that. Holy shit, he's right. So it was divided because then there's a lot of people who are straight down the middle who just like, I understand the message, but fuck the messenger. That's the problem. That's a problem. So what was said, because I know a lot of people don't know what was said, CM Punk basically started talking about how AEW was ran. They're just making matches. They're not really trying to cater to an audience. They're just doing matches and doing it for a 5-star rating and doing it for Tony's own amusement. And that's what we've kind of been saying. And like I said, I don't have a problem with it sometimes, but also, like, if you're trying to grow your audience, you can't do it just by making matches. Like, look at the ratings. The ratings are slipping lower, 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 lower. And people are like, nah, it's fine. It's like, but you're not growing your audience. Nah, it's fine. It's fine. It's like, nobody wants AEW to die. We want you to cater to a bigger audience so you can grow bigger and stop saying, oh, we're a challenger brand, and actually be the number two brand where we could be like, holy shit, AEW is the real competitor, instead of saying, we're a challenger brand. And that pissed me off, like, the way people just, like, totally writ off with CM Punk was like, oh, he's bitter, he's bitter, he's bitter. I have a friend of mine that's like, she, like, completely fucking hates CM Punk. Like, she completely hates CM Punk. We see a lot of the same visions in wrestling, but she despises Punk. Like, she's a Young Buck, like, she loves the Young Bucks, and she just despises Punk. Like, every time he talks, she's like, he's never satisfied. And I'm like, dude, he's literally saying his grievances that he had that other people have been saying for years. And this is like, no, 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 no. It's just he's mad. This is why he's angry. Like, he'll never be happy. And I'm like, dude, it's not him trying to be shitting on a company. He's literally just airing his grievances of how he felt when he was there. If you're like, well, he did the same thing when he left WWE. And they're like, fine. But both times when he left WWE and when he left AEW, he literally was saying points that were like, this makes sense. Everything he just said makes sense. Even though he's angry, it makes sense. It's literally things we were complaining about. And she was like, not having any of it. So I just like left it alone. We just talked about other stuff, but it was like, this was like a sensitive topic to some people. And I get it. Like, I fucking get it. I get it. I get it. So then he talked about Jack Perry and how he told Jack Perry, you can't be breaking glass on my show. And Tony Schiavone had to come to CM Punk and say, yo, he's cussing out the trainers and this one and that one. Like, he wants to do this glass spot. And Punk's like, you can't do that on my show. Do that shit on Wednesday. First off, CM Punk had control over Collision. That seems kind of a little bit strong there. Like, I didn't...
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like that was kind of weird. Like, yo, you gave this man control of a whole show? I mean, we heard about this and, like, we joked about it when it came back. It was like, yeah, like, he got control over the show. That's why certain people can't work on that day. But it's like, this is a real thing. Like, that was wrong. And then he said something about Tony that he's just trying to make friends with the wrestlers instead of actually being a boss. He's like, yeah, he's just trying to be one of the guys instead of being the boss. And it was like, people have said that before. People have said that before.
Yeah.
And he's like, stuff in the locker room isn't right. And he prefers WWE, the way things are done in WWE, over the way things are done in AEW. And, like, he just totally, he, like, the thing is, he said shit and people took it, like, immediately he wants the downfall of AEW. He hates AEW. And it's like, he's addressing problems. Like, there's no stories, there's no structure, there's no this. He's addressing stuff that we have said on this podcast, people have said out loud. And every time somebody says it out loud, they go, yo, fuck y'all. You're wrong. Like, you're being like, you hate AEW, you want it to die. And it's like, every time we say the same fucking thing right after that. We don't want it to die. We're trying to make it better. We said last week on this podcast, we read somebody's tweet that literally said, we're criticizing AEW because we're seeing it being built in real time. So we're giving it immediate feedback. Everybody just like doesn't fucking get it. They don't get it. And soon as CM Punk said this, it was just like, oh, he's just wrong. I don't understand. I don't understand. So
it's like what you always say on this podcast. People can't accept constructive criticism because Punk could have gotten, like, went in on there on them, you know what I mean? But he didn't. He actually was calm about it, in my view, watching it, you know what I mean? He didn't seem asshole, which he could, like, be. They asked him a question and he answered it.
Exactly. You know? It was very weird to me how everything just was so, it just was so weird. Like, I don't like that. It was just so weird. Like, it just was so weird. But I just didn't fucking get it. I just didn't get how people were so mad. But he was talking about how he got left on a train because they didn't pick him up at Wembley Stadium. We heard that, and a lot of people was like, Yeah, there's no way that that happened. There's no way that that happened. And he said it happened. Then he was talking about how the Bucks and Kenny didn't like him. They said, he said they had beef with him. They didn't want him there. And he just kind of said, fuck it. Because the first time after Brawl Out, he said, they don't want me here. I don't know why I'm here. Just let me go. And then Tony was like, no, no, no. We're going to build Collision for you. We're going to make a show for you. You stay over here and they stay over there. And he was like, dude, that's not, he was like, that's not how this works. He was like, it's not going to work like that. They were like, no, no, no. It will work. Trust me. And it didn't work. Didn't work at all.
Could you imagine it with the other company, whatever? And like, a lot of people don't get along there, but they work together. Could you imagine Vince making a show for every person that doesn't get along?
Yeah, like that would be so fucking crazy. Like there's people in WWE that probably don't get along right now, but they literally do work because they're like, fuck it, we have to go to work. And like, we don't like you, we don't fuck with you, but we have to go to work and do this. And like, like, I don't understand, like, what people is so up in arms about when him saying shit like this. He was literally just airing his fucking grievances. And it wasn't even that bad. It wasn't like, I literally took it like, oh my God, he's just saying all the shit that we've literally been saying for a while and nobody has addressed. And it just, it was so weird. It was so weird. And like, I know people are like, wait a minute, but a year ago or a year or two ago, you guys were against CM Punk and was liking the Young Bucks. And yeah, that's because we didn't have all of the information. And from immediate looking at things, it was like, oh, Punk's an asshole. Punk's like just a douchebag. And he's just like this piece of shit. And it's like, well, no, there was actual hatred there. And that's why he was acting the way he was acting. It's like, oh, so we were wrong. Like, we literally was wrong about this. And
to be clear, mm-hmm. right? Tell me if you agree with me on this, right? Mm-hmm. I personally still don't trust Punk, but I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt because everything he said sounds right and factual. And it's some like things I've always thought and you have always thought on this podcast and all that. So he's been facts, as you know, people would say. You know what I mean? I don't see nothing he said wrong. I don't trust him. You know, he might fuck up eventually. I wish him well. I hope he doesn't for, you know, wrestling's sake, not just his, you know, because he's good for business.
Listen, I don't trust him. I don't trust him, but he is the voice of everything that we've been saying. He is the voice. The thing is, yes. He's the voice of everything we've been saying because he's been there. He's been in AEW. Mm-hmm. He's watched everything come together. He's been in that. When somebody like Eric Bischoff is saying this shit, people are like, Eric, you've never been over there. You're just an asshole. You don't know shit. And then when somebody else is saying it, oh, you're just a journalist. You have no idea. You don't know shit. CM Punk's literally been mm-hmm. behind the lines and he knows exactly what's going on. So him saying exactly what everyone else has been saying is just confirming what everyone else is saying. It's like, oh yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense. But everybody, because of CM Punk and his reputation, nobody trusts him. Nobody gives him the benefit of the doubt. Nobody has, like, nobody's like, yeah, no, Punk's right. No, Punk's right. Like, Punk's right. Because Punk has had this every fucking time has had this same fucking track record of I'm the asshole, I'm a douchebag, I'm a piece of shit. And then when you do something, you literally solidify what everybody's saying and they discredit whatever you're saying in the future. But he has said things before and it's like, yeah, like this is right, this is right, this is right, this is right. And years later, you're like, oh shit, he was right about that.
Mm-hmm. Like everything he said about WWE at the time.
Yes.
He would write about everything.
Exactly. Yeah. And like this, like, I understand like people not trusting him because he's been a douchebag, an asshole before. He said things that we've been thinking. And I know like some people keep saying, oh, well, you guys hate AEW. We don't. We want it to be better. And that's why we are literally going, listen to what the fuck he's saying. That's what we just keep saying. Listen to what the fuck he's saying and take criticism. But
yes,
some people will never do that. So after that interview went out, and he did not talk about Brawl Out people, he didn't even mention it. So after the interview went out, everybody literally on social media said the same exact thing, was like, how long does it take before two things happen? One, before Tony Khan starts tweeting, and two, the whole AEW locker room comes to say something about how much they love AEW. And, well, 10 minutes after that interview went up and people started talking about it, the first person comes out, this Sammy Guevara, and he says, AEW has changed my life. And I just, like, as soon as I seen that, I was like, oh, God, it's starting. And then Daddy Magic said it. Then somebody else said it from AEW. And then somebody else said it. And it's like, guys, we already know the play. We know exactly what's going down. We know, like, we know that this is the Tony Khan playbook. When something happens, negative shit comes to the company, guys, tweet about this. Like, go on social media, say something nice about AEW. This has happened over and over and over again. This is not the first time. And we knew it. Everybody on social media that literally lives and dies on social media knew the same exact thing. This was the playbook. This is what was going to happen. And that's what happened. Yeah. And it was normal. We were waiting for Tony Khan to say something because he usually says stuff. And like when he got mad at Eric Bischoff, because Eric Bischoff had nothing to do with him and John Alba like ending their fucking podcast, but he wanted to take a shot at Eric Bischoff because Eric Bischoff talked shit, and you took a shot at John Alba, who has nothing to do with this and is a nice guy, but he just took a shot at him, and everybody was mad. It was funny because everybody was mad that he took a shot at John Alba, but not at Eric Bischoff. He was like, nah, fuck Eric Bischoff. But like, damn, you took a shot at John Alba, that's wrong. And it's like, no, that's true, but like, Eric is not as bad as everybody say. No, Eric is a con man. And it's like, Eric could be a con man, but sometimes Eric does say some good things. Like, I have a lot of wrestling people that I listen to that like are like considered taboo in the wrestling space, but they have some good ideas of wrestling, and it's not like they're way off base. And you're like, oh shit, they're like, that makes sense. Like Jim Cornette. Like Jim Cornette is one person that you'd be like, oh, fuck Jim Cornette because he does this. If you ever listen to his breakdown of wrestling, he knows wrestling. Eric Bischoff is another person who also knows wrestling in the business. So when he's saying something, you're like, nah, fuck Eric Bischoff. Like, he's a con man. He's this and that. But if you listen to exactly what Eric Bischoff is saying, you're like, oh, shit, Eric Bischoff's right. Eric Bischoff has been saying the same thing that Punk has been saying for years. When him and Conrad had a talk about the CM Punk situation, Eric literally just, the first thing Eric sat there and said was, so all this time that everybody's been mad at me for saying exactly what he just said, and he's been there, you can apologize because I was right the whole time. I've been saying this, but you just don't want to hear it from me. Now you hear it from him, and you're like, oh, well, this is a thing. And it's like, yeah, I've been saying this. And it's like, yes, this is exactly what people have been saying. It's ridiculous, and people need to stop acting like AEW is uncriticizable. And like, no one wants it to die. And I hate that narrative. Every time somebody criticizes it, the first thing people say is, oh, you want AEW to die. I hate that so much.
Yes.
So we start off with AEW, because as soon as the show starts, it starts off with Edge. And as soon as Edge came out, I was so confused. I was like, he's not even booked for this show. What the fuck is going on? I was like, what is happening? And Edge came out, and I was like, oh, he's going to challenge somebody. He's going to set up his match for Dynasty. And then I was like, oh, yeah, he has his match for Dynasty. So why is he out here? And he just goes, man, he was like, this week was filled with negativity, so I'm going to do some positivity. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, not now.
They got them.
Yeah, and he just cuts this impassionate AEW, pro-AEW promo, and he's just talking about how everybody is so negative to AEW, but when he wanted to finish his career, he knew he was going to finish it in AEW, and he's going to finish it on his terms, and this is a place where he had dream matches, and he listed off all these people he could have dream matches with, and saying that he would put that locker room up against any locker room in the world, and he was like, those everybody back there busted their ass, and Tony Khan loves his business, and you should love this business. I grew up watching every piece of wrestling that I could get my hands on, and I'm like, me too. I did too. I grew up watching wrestling just like you. Like, watch every, all of the same, most of the same shit that you worked, but it's like, wow, like, that's great. But it was like this pro, it was like this pro AEW promo, just like completely taking, like, just addressing the whole CM Punk thing. And you know what the best part about this was? The best part?
What part?
When the crowd had no fucking idea, the crowd had no fucking idea what the fuck he was talking about. Because the crowd was like, oh yeah, like AEW's cool. When he said this week had so much negativity, the crowd literally was like, what is he talking about? What happened? Because none of the fucking crowd paid attention to the CM Punk promo. They didn't care. No one cared. So when he said that, not a person was like, yeah, fuck negativity. They was like, what is he talking about? Then he mentioned WWF. They booed him. They was like, boo. And he was like, no. He was like, WWF's cool. He's like, back then.
That part I liked.
Yeah.
That part I liked. I respected that part. Yeah.
And it was so, like, it was so funny because, like, I literally, this promo didn't need to be there. Like, he didn't need to cut this promo at all. Because, one, nobody in the AEW audience gave a fuck. Two, Punk's not there, so you're not building to anything. This isn't like you responding to CM Punk. Y'all gonna have a match or some shit. Nobody gives a fuck. Like, you shouldn't even brought this up. You should have just moved on and kept going and just had a fucking show. And he was like, nah.
Exactly.
Tony just was like, somebody has to address it, and Edge is the person who can address it. And it's like, why? Like, just move on. Like this felt really petty to me, and people are like, well, he had to respond. If he had to respond, do it the same way he did to fucking John Alba for no reason. Respond in a tweet, or the way he just responds to fucking fans. Just respond in a tweet. Like, you didn't have to do this. Like, if he would have responded in a tweet, I would have been like, okay, I respect that more because it's coming straight from you taking a shot at him. But this was like, I'm sending out my soldiers to do my dirty work. And it's like, you didn't have to because, like, no one really cared that much. Because it's not like, to be honest, Punk's promo wasn't going to stop me from watching AEW. It's not going to stop me from watching Dynamite. It's not going to stop me from watching Double or Nothing. It's not going to stop me from anything in AEW. It's not going to be like, you know what? He said this, I'm not watching it. I'm so anti-AEW now. No, that's not how this works. It didn't stop anything.
It's a business.
Yeah, and it's like nothing changed. So this promo, this promo made me just feel like, what the fuck? This is so random. Like, because none of this had to be explained. Like, we didn't have to have this. We could have just moved the fuck on and just went to normal and just went back to regular AEW shit. But I was like, it didn't make any sense to me, but it's like, all right, whatever. So
also, like, tell me your opinion. Like, because out of the two of us, you're like the more rational when you think about these things, right? Mm-hmm. He sent Edge out there, right? But isn't it kind of a bad move? Like, if you're going to send your soldiers out there, quote unquote, your soldiers, right? Mm-hmm. If I was petty, me being me, I would send somebody out there that's been in my company a long time, like a Moxley or a Kenny, whatever. Someone who knows everything that's been there. You know what I mean? Edge has only been there for like a cup of coffee. Like, he can't really speak on AEW or like that. My opinion. I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong or not.
Okay, so that makes sense from like the broader perspective, but also the bigger picture is Edge is a huge star. Edge has been in this business forever. Yes. So Edge is like a fucking legend. So if you have a legend in your company and he goes out there and says, dude, our company is the greatest. It's the legend saying it. So it holds weight because it's no matter how long he's been there, it's Edge. It's the legend Edge. He's Edge. And he's true. Saying this about the company. And it holds weight because it's him. And that's the reason he had him do it, because it holds weight. And it's like, anybody else would have just been like, oh, it's just like, those are the AEW regulars. This guy holds weight because he's a legend. And he's been in WWE, and he's here. And he holds weight because Edge said it out of his mouth. But it's like,
gotcha.
It wasn't needed. And then after that, he basically said he wanted to face all these people, and then he brought out Ospreay for his match. Like,
so that's like, what's the word you like to use a lot? Foreshadowing.
Yes. So he brought out Ospreay for the Battle of the Wills because he was going to fight Will Hobbs, and this match was going good until this one spot, and I just yelled so loud because that suplex on the steps, I thought Will Hobbs suplexing Will Ospreay on the steps, I thought he killed Will Ospreay. I was like, you just killed Ospreay, what are you doing? I think
I texted you that.
Yes, you did. It was like, I was so upset because I was like, he's dead now. But he got up and he was fine. And the match was going, good. Once again, it's going great and I'm totally on to it. It's like, I'm watching it. It's getting better and better. And then Will does the sky twisting press and his knee lands right on fucking Will Hobbs's head. Knocks Will's, like, if you watch it back, Will Hobbs is literally knocked the fuck out. And Will Hobbs, like, kind of struggles to get back up. Ospreay hits him with the hitting blade. And when Ospreay hits him with the hitting blade, he lays on him. And Ospreay lays on him to keep him down. And the whole time, Ospreay is checking on him, like, you all right? You all right? Are you okay? Are you okay? And, like, Will is, like...
You noticed that, too.
Yeah, and Will is, like, he's still not all the way there. But, like, he kind of gets there after the pin, and he just, like, gets up. And, like, he pushes Ospreay because, like, that was what was supposed to happen. Because I think that's what's supposed to happen because, like, he's trying to break away from Ospreay, away from the whole Don Callis family. Because I swear to God, I'll be glad when this shit is over. Because, like, I don't want this inner family bullshit to keep going. Like, I don't want this. I want Ospreay to move on and do his own thing.
I agree with you, but like once you pointed out, like he hit his head and whatever, that could be still like he was kind of woozy still, didn't know where the fuck he was. Like, hey man, fucking hit me! Like he wanted to fight for real until he like fucking Don like told him like dog chill, like it's part of the match. Oh
yeah, because he's like he was rattled. You could see he was shaking. It was like God damn. So Will Hobbs like starts walking up the ramp and Bryan Danielson comes out. And it was so funny because Will Hobbs is walking past Bryan Danielson and he just like yells something at Bryan Danielson. And Bryan was like, what the fuck is what? Like, cause that's how out of it he was. Cause he just yells at Bryan and he was like, what? And Bryan was like, okay. And he just kept coming out of the ring and he had the little face off with Will. And then Bryan wrestles fucking Lance Archer. And I ain't gonna lie, I totally forgot that this match was happening. So when it happened, I was like, what the fuck? Like, Bryan's facing Lance Archer? Like, oh shit. And
this was a good match too.
Oh no, this was another good match because it was like two good matches back to back. And Bryan got his ass beat, but he finally beat Lance Archer and it was like, all right, cool. And Lance Archer did something in this match that I forget that, like, there's a lot of Western fans that never seen him do this type of shit before. Because, like, he's slamming a cameraman or a security guard on the Daniel Bryan. So, like, everybody was like, oh, my God, he used somebody to slam on it. And I'm just like, dude, this is something he does all the time in New Japan. He just grabbed young lions and throw them around. Throw them on people, beat the shit out of them.
I remember that shit.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
So that happened. And Brian won the match, so we're still setting up for Brian and Ospreay. So then we had something that I swear to God, I want to nuke AEW just because of this. Like, we have Chris Jericho. They booed the shit out of Chris Jericho as soon as he came out. They booed his ass. And he comes out, and he's talking to Hook, and he's like, last week, I said I wanted to be your mentor. Well, I want to be your tag team partner. We should have a tag team match on Rampage. And Hook said to him, was like, dude, I'll be a tag partner, but I do not fucking trust you. He's like, yeah, well, you should trust me because I'm cool. And it's like, Jericho, just go away, please. Like,
right?
Like, I have no idea why Jericho keeps wanting to do this. It just, like, annoys the fuck out of me. So
he's, like, kind of like Flair, like, just doesn't want to leave. It's your time to fucking go. He's not as old as Flair, obviously, but it's his time. Like, there's nothing else for him to do.
Yeah, but he wants to keep going. Go. He wants to keep going for no reason. And then Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty challenges Hook and Jericho to a tag match on Rampage or Collision. I'm not sure where it's at, but okay.
I think it's Collision.
Okay. So then we have...
This is where we finally break them up, because like, they need to break up.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
So then we had something like this was so annoying to me because the lights went dark and this music hits. I'm like, who the fuck is this? And it's Jay White. I'm like, the fuck? And Jay White's standing there and he's doing his bang bang scissor gang or whatever it is. And then he gets attacked by Billy Gunn. And at first I was like, okay, they're going to have a match and this is going to be cool. This match absolutely fucking sucked.
Like, I've seen people, like, I didn't even know a wrestling fan said, like, Jay's getting buried. They don't like that shit.
Yes, and everybody realized what we've been saying for a long time. He should have just waited. He should have fucking waited. I'm sorry, he should have waited. He just should have waited, because everybody literally was like, what the fuck is this? Like, Jay is so bad. Like, this whole Jay White experiment is so bad. He's not even just another guy. He is nobody. And he's already passed the first year on this contract, because next week it'll be 1 year since Jay White debuted in AEW. So he's been there for a year. He's got two more to go, baby. And then he's out of there, because holy shit, he's got to go. Like, he's got to go.
Advice for Jay White or anybody else who's there, right? Just go to the scrum. Just go to the scrum. You'll get out. You'll get out. I'm not telling you exactly what to do. You know what to do. Get out. Get out.
It's not that simple. It's not that simple. So, during a match, the fucking Ass Boys beat up the Acclaim. And then the Ass Boys came out to save Jay White. And Jay White got disqualified because he hit Billy Gunn in the nuts. But Billy Gunn hit him with the one and only two Fame Masters and damn near killed the shit out of Jay White. And it's like, what's the point? What's the fucking point?
To bury Jay. Why? I don't know, but they want to bury Jay.
And it's just, it's like, he's a phenomenal talent, and he could be doing so much. And it's just like, nope, we're not going to do shit with him. And it's just like, why? It's just ridiculous. And Tony Khan, like, to piggyback off this Jay White thing, Tony Khan literally said in the media scrum that I'm going to be going aggressive on free agents this year. He's like, I'm going to be going aggressive on free agents this year. I'm going to try to sign as many good free agents. Anybody that's out there, I'm going to try to sign. I was like, okay. And after the Punk whole debacle, they fired like 10 people. They fired 10 people, Anthony Hendry, and people were actually pissed off because Anthony Hendry is injured. Even though he got injured on like a whole indie thing and not an AEW thing, he got fired. And people was like, how are you going to fire an injured man? And then Tony Khan brought him back. He rehired him. I was like, okay, he rehired him. And Tony Khan also fired the boys who are part of Dalton Castle's crew. And I know the boys, yep. And they're very cool. They're very cool people. I've talked to them a couple times. The boys, apparently, according to Tony Khan, the boys missed a bunch of shows, so he can't rely on them, so he had to let them go. And I was like, okay. And the boys both said, that's not what happened. But okay, go ahead. Because they're like, that's not what happened. But you just made that up just to fire us, but it's fine. The funny part is the boys were actually in a program with Dalton Castle that they were supposed to be having with Johnny Nitro or Johnny Bloodsport or Johnny whatever his name is going to be this week. They're in a program with them, but they're like, no, we're going to fire you right before the pay-per-view. Okay, cool. But that's all I can say. It's like, okay, cool. Like, that was disrespectful.
Didn't Taya own half of them? Like, Taya Valkyrie would have them half the time, and then Dalton would have them, like, the other half?
Yes.
Something like that with the story?
Mm-hmm. And that story's dead. That story's dead now, so...
Yeah.
Sure, thanks. Dasha was another person that got fired. I was like, okay. So, back to AEW. The first half of this promo, I literally said the same thing that I say all the time, every time I'm here, every time I'm on a podcast. There's no way that you're going to get me to boo Willow. Willow cut this sweet, impassioned promo, and I'm like, there's no fucking way I'm ever booing Willow. I'm never booing Willow. Fuck you. Like, anybody that turns her heel, I'm never booing her. Willow is the most adorable, sweet, humblest person you can ever meet. There's no way I'm fucking booing this girl. No way. I'm never booing her. Like, I don't give a fuck what happens. I'm never booing her.
Yeah.
And Chris Statlander was out there dressed in all black. And I'm like, that's not ominous at all. That's not ominous at all. What?
Yeah, I thought that too.
And then all of a sudden, here comes Mercedes Moné, and she says, well, I don't care which one of you win between you and Julia Hart, who wins the TBS championship, because at Double or Nothing, Moné is going to be on the table, or something like that. She said something cool, catchy. I didn't really catch it. I just got mad immediately.
Money over everything, I think it was.
Whatever, but I got mad immediately because we have a pay-per-view coming up. She's not even going to be on that pay-per-view. She's going to skip that whole entire pay-per-view, which is in a few weeks, and she doesn't wrestle until May 27th, which is when Double or Nothing is. That is a long way away. You literally are not wrestling for, like, you got brought in this company in March. You won't be wrestling to May. That is at least 3 months. What was the point? What was the point?
AEW.
And here's the funny part is Sean Mossap reported, he literally reported this, something that we already knew because we already reported this on the podcast. He reported that Moné was supposed to come back to WWE and be part of Bayley's squad to go against Damage Control, her and Charlotte. When Charlotte got injured, that narrowed the numbers, but then Moné wound up signing with AEW, which took her off the table because she was supposed to be with Bayley against Damage Control at WrestleMania. So, yeah, that was supposed to be a thing.
That would have been awesome, though.
It would have been great, but it's like, you know, she's in AEW, and now she won't wrestle until May. And I love her to death, but, like, I want to see her wrestle. I want to see her get in the ring and wrestle. Like, yeah, that's what I want to say.
Yeah.
So then we get the next part in the tag team tournament, and the EVPs, they come out, and they take this little subtle jab. And if he wasn't paying attention, you would never hear it. But they take this little subtle dig. As they're coming down to the ring, they just look in the camera and say, JP, we love your work. JP is Jack Perry, because Punk buried Jack Perry on the podcast. They decided to take their little shot and say, JP, we love your work. Now, here's the funny part. Actually, I do love JP's work in the House of Torture. So I'm not even mad at that. We do love his work. And the funny part about it was, like, all of my New Japan friends jokingly took that and was like, you know what, Young Bucks? So do we. We like his work too. Because we do like his work in New Japan. We just don't give a fuck about your little stupid ass fucking beef. Like you can say whatever you want, but it's like, we don't care about your beef, and we don't like you. So, yeah.
Question, though, right?
Answer.
Didn't that ruin Jack Perry's kind of kayfabe, oh, I hate AEW thing with them giving him a shout-out, though? You know what I mean? Because he's supposed to be, quote-unquote, the scapegoat. I hate it there. I ripped my contract, yada, 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 you know, which we all know is bullshit. But, you know.
No, it didn't. You know why?
Why?
Because AEW fans are AEW fans, and they don't watch New Japan, so they don't really fucking know that he's in New Japan. Like, that's the problem. They don't even fucking know he's there. They don't even know this week he has a fucking tag match with Ren Narita against Jon Moxley and Shota Umino. They don't fucking know that in Japan. They don't know he has a match on a big pay-per-view in Japan. They don't fucking know that. They don't even know Moxley is wrestling over there, because they have no fucking recollection of what the fuck New Japan is. So that's just good for them. Like, no matter what anyone says, no one really fucking understands what Jack Perry's doing. And them saying JP instead of saying Jack Perry is like them getting out of saying Jack Perry. And it's like, okay, whatever, dude. Like, what?
Okay, gotcha.
So we had the Young Bucks versus the Zest Friends, who came out with Sue and Trent. I mean, not Trent, Chuck. So they're having a match, and Trent goes to give Sue a kiss, and it fucks up, and the Young Bucks win. And after that, the Best Friends are in, they're in the ring, and they go for the hug. Like, I kind of figured this was going to happen, but I also thought something different was going to happen. So, like, I thought...
I did, too.
Like, I thought they were going to go for the hug, and Chuck was going to attack him. I'm like, all right, Chuck's going to do it.
Same. 100%.
Yes. But it was Trent. Trent was the one. Trent hit the knee on the Chuck, on the Orange Cassidy, and he knocked him down, and then he left. He even left Sue. And he's like, Mom, not right now. And he just walks off. And I was like, oh, shit.
So, here's the funny part. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to give us that point.
Mm-hmm.
Because we called him, like, turning heel and turning it against him a few years back when he had the neck injury, and came back when they replaced him with Yuta and all that. And he was mad at Yuta.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
And we said, like, we was like, he's going to get mad and fuck them all up.
That's exactly what I was saying, too. And it was funny because, like, somebody else said the same exact thing, was like, dude, this thing, like, they was like, yeah, this has been going on for months. They was like, no, this has been going on for years. Like, I'm surprised it took this long. Like, yeah, it's been a long time, and, like, it finally happened. So
he snapped.
Yeah, we finally get the Zest Friends are over, and Trent's going to do his own thing. And I love how a lot of people was like, dude, is Trent a star? And it's like, Trent had three matches on AEW where everybody said the same exact thing. It was like, oh, my God, Trent can wrestle? Holy shit. Yeah, like, he's done it three times on AEW television. And I've been saying this before this. He's really good. Now we're going to see him by himself doing his own thing.
Yep. He got a mean shining wizard, though. Shit.
Mm-hmm. So Then we had Mariah May with Toni Storm come down to the ring. Now, here's the thing. So the Stardom show was here today because of WrestleMania weekend. So Stardom had the show. And first off, the first thing that literally touched a lot of nerves was Natty was backstage at a Stardom show. And she met with the CEO of the Stardom show and was like, oh, wow. Like, Natty is backstage at Stardom. And they even put it on, like, the Stardom Twitter. I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's very interesting. And then Mina Shirakawa teamed up with Mariah May, reforming the Venus Club, which they were in Japan. And after the match, Toni Storm showed up, and Toni Storm basically had the title, and she got in Mina Shirakawa's face. It was like, because she was bringing flowers to Mariah May, and for some reason, she just started beefing with Mina Shirakawa. And I was like, oh, so this looks like this should be the Forbidden Door match. Mina versus Toni. Okay. I'm all for it.
I'm still waiting for her match against Wendy Ricker.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Wendy.
Dude, I would pop so big if that happens at fucking Double or Nothing. That would be great.
Right.
So then we had Thunderstorm versus Mariah May. And of course, Thunder Rosa beats Mariah May. And she just like gets in Toni Storm's face. And I don't know how, like, I'm not even joking. Part of me was like kind of worried because I'm like, wait a minute. They got kind of legit beef because of the whole Thunder not dropping the title and Toni being the interim champion, and they have beef because, and I was like, is this like still beef, or like are they just like working it out just to make money? Like, which part? I hope it's the working out to make money thing, and that's the good part. Yeah, because I don't hope it's the other part where she's actually angry at her.
Actually, option C, I hope the whole thing's a work and like no one's really angry at anybody. Because remember, all this was on their quote unquote reality show too, which was bullshit.
No. I 100% believe that this was a real thing and they turned it into something on the like the reality show. Because remember, they turned their side on the show. They was like, yeah, no, this happens on our side. But Thunder Rosa was saying for months that this shit is real, and she was pissed off at a lot of the way shit was going down. And even after the show was over, they still were taking shots at her. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this was real. So, then we got Penta says, I want a shot at the TNT title next week. So, are you ready for that? Penta versus Adam Copeland?
Yeah, but even though like Adam's gonna win, he's gonna get fucked up.
Yeah, I'm down for it. So then we had the main event, which was a contract signing. And Swerve came out, and Swerve basically said the same thing. Swerve says, every time, I'm gonna be the champion, I'm gonna beat you, and we're gonna move on. And then Joe said something. He said, what did he say? He said something about how I'm going to have you all beat up and washed up like you came out of a Diddy party. And some people was like, whoa, I didn't like that because it was a sexual assault reference. I'm like, dude, you know how many times people say shit that's like comical? Like, what the fuck? Like, why are you so angry? It's not like he said he was going to be like a girl there. It's like, that would have been like, okay, that's too far, Joe. You went too far. But, like, it just, like, he said at the party. He just said, you're going to be, like, somebody at the party that's drunk and messed up. And it's like, okay. And then Joe wound up beating Swerve's ass with the chain that Swerve brought and bust him open. And I don't know how Swerve does this, but when Swerve gets busted open, he doesn't get busted open like a normal human. Like, a normal human would get busted open and just have, like, oh, just a little bit of blood. Swerve gets busted open, and it just, like, runs out of his head. And it just, like, it doesn't stop running. And Swerve, like, Joe just walks off and Swerve gets up and was like, Joe, he's like, you can do whatever you want. I like that shit. And blood is just like dripping on the microphone. I'm like, how the fuck does Swerve do this? Like, blood is just leaking out of his head. And he just takes a pen and he signs a contract in blood. And I swear to God, like, there was like five people on the internet going, I've never seen that before. And I'm like, are you okay? Because it like it literally happened in AEW twice. This is the third time it happened. It's like, yes. What are you doing?
Yes.
But that was AEW. So now we go on to NXT right before Stand and Deliver, the last show before the match, and we get a three-way. We get Gallows and Anderson, LWO, and Axiom and Nathan Frazer in a triple threat. Winner goes on to Stand and Deliver. So you wanted these two to win. I thought Gallows and Anderson was going to win. First off, this match was good, but Nathan Frazer and Axiom are winning. They're going to face the tag team champions. How do you feel about that?
Little correction there.
Uh-huh.
I kind of wanted the other team to win, not Gallows and Anderson. Who was it? LWO, was
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Okay, so.
Yeah, I kind of wanted them to win, so we were both wrong on that one.
Oh, so nobody guessed these two. Okay, cool.
No. Like, I text you. I was like, yeah, I'm kind of shocked about that.
I thought you were shocked because I didn't see that you coming. Wanted that. So, okay.
Oh, no. No, because I didn't see it coming. Because in all intents and purposes, they're not a real team. They just two people they threw together recently. They're meshing well together. They work like excellent together, but they're not a team.
Yeah, that's another thing that I hate. I'm like, you guys should be a fucking team. Like, even the Wolf Dogs have a name. Like,
yeah,
you need a name.
They have merch now.
Exactly. And these two guys are just Nathan Frazer and Axiom. Yeah, they're fucking great, yeah. But like, they have no team name. They need a name.
Like, if we weren't in PG and whatever, one, I would go with the fucking assholes for fucking the Wolf Dogs. Mm-hmm. Like, I would go with that 100%. Two, I would go with the shit talkers because Nathan is always talking shit.
True. So then we get Lexus King and he's cutting a promo. And I lie to you not, I did not pay attention to this. He's talking about fucking Von Wagner, and I do not give one fuck about this. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Like, I don't care for all.
Oh, I was hoping you would tell me what the fuck he said.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I didn't even care. I was like, yeah, I don't give a fuck, dude. I don't care. Like, and I just was like, I totally checked out because it was like, he just start yapping. I was like, dog, I don't know what the fuck you're saying. I don't even care about you facing Von Wagner. I thought you got this out of your system. I don't care. Like, I don't care. So then we get Ilya Dragunov, and he has a boot on his car. And then all of a sudden, this car pulls up and was like, you're getting in the car because you're going to a dinner with the Don. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is the fucking storyline for this fucking title match. I hate this. Like, this is the fucking dumbest piece of shit. NXT just dropped the fucking ball with this. I'm like, this is dumb as shit.
Like, it's the fucking title match. Like, he could have done better.
Exactly. So then we have JC versus Fallon. Fallon comes out with Kalani and Thea Hale. JC comes out with Jordan Nix, Izzy Dane, and the other girl. Damn it, I forgot it. I want to say Kiana James.
Kiana
James, yep.
Yeah, Kiana.
So they had a match. And Fallon wins, and after the match, they go to the back. They literally walk through the thing, and Fallon challenges the other team. And then JC comes out and cuts her promo, and Ava's like, dude, like, can y'all get the fuck away from here and just, like, stop because it's right there in gorilla position. She's like, can y'all get the fuck from Wave here? Like, I'll give y'all the fucking match. Everybody get the fuck out of here. This shit is annoying. Just leave. Just fucking leave. Like, I never, I never seen no shit like that. I was like, because, like, at first, like, they sat there and they was talking. She was like, dude, just get the fuck out of here. Just stop talking. Just get the fuck out of here. I'm tired of this shit. So, that's the match. Like, I actually thought they were going to do an 8-person, but apparently they just, like, killed Jasmine Nix and was like, no, you're not in this match. You're just going to be on the sidelines. Sure. So,
yeah, well, that was for sure that they was going to put, I forget who you, because you predicted this match, but you added someone to the, like,
Ren
the
Sinclair
and whatever, but I forget who. There you go. Yeah. But they didn't add her. I do not think she was even on this show. Correct me.
No, she was. She was on the show later on. But yeah, I just was like, okay, they're going to do a 6-person. All right, cool. Then we had a Josh Briggs promo about him facing Obafemi. I'm like, okay, cool. And then we had Von Wagner versus Lexus King. And like, I'm dead serious. I'm like, okay, Von's going to win. No. Lexus wins. I was like, the fuck just happened here?
Kind of quick too, right? Or was that just me?
No, it was kind of quick, but I was like, he didn't like use no cheap shot or nothing. He just won from like a just random distraction. And it was like, how the fuck did you beat Von Wagner? I was like, what the fuck is going on? I don't know what Von Wagner did to people, because like, apparently he pissed somebody off to lose Alexis King that quick. Like, what the fuck? But whatever.
He hit the fucking steps with his fucking head.
I guess. So then we had Ava, and she's talking to Mello. She's like, yo, I don't really want no problems out there tonight. And she's like, okay, cool. So then we had Kamar Petrovic and Natty. And Roxy came up, and Roxy was talking shit for no reason. Dude, like, she was talking shit to Natty for no reason. Because, like, you're not beefing with Natty. You're not beefing with anyone. What was the point?
To beef with somebody?
She's beefing with the champion. Beef with the fucking champion. Like, I don't get it. Why did you even start beef with Natty? Like, what do you want to face Natty when you win the championship? Like, for what? Like, if I'm not mistaken, I think she fought Natty for the championship one time.
I believe so, actually. Like, I want to say it was, like, right before she faced Satomura, however you pronounce it. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? So, then we had Ren Sinclair. She came up to Ariana Grace. She's like, dude, like, I don't know why you're trying to change Gigi. You should, like, not do that. Because Gigi's like her own person, and you shouldn't tell her what to do. And Ariana was like, no, I should, because she lost the match, and you shouldn't get in our business. You know what? We should fight later on. And I'm just, and she's like, oh, okay. And I'm just like, why is Rim Sinclair just like this slow-talking person? Like, you should be a little, have some excitement or something. She's like, no, I don't really know what I'm doing. Okay, cool. Sure.
Not that she had a droopy gimmick.
I hope that's her gimmick. So then we had Lola Vice versus Kamar Petrovic. And of course, Lola Vice wins. Because like, her beef is with Natty. She wants to fight Natty again because she lost to Natty. But I have no idea. It makes no sense. And Kamar tapped because Lola put her in the sharpshooter. I'm like, okay. Like,
yeah, that's not like foreshadowing like a motherfucker.
It's not, but here's the thing. Like, okay, Lola beats Natty. She gets her win back. And it's no one's being helped here.
Yep.
So then we have the Don having dinner with fucking Ilya Dragunov, and they say, we're going to come back to that. So then we have Roxy go on the Supernova Sessions. Supernova brings on Lyra, Valkyria, and Roxy. And
oh, wow, that's spot on.
And they just go back and forth. Lyra calls Roxy a bitch. And they start fighting. And it was so funny because Roxy punches Lyra. Like, she literally punches Lyra. Breaks her nose because Lyra's nose start bleeding. Lyra punches Roxy and then picks her up and slams her through the table. And it's just like, God damn. Like, she beat the shit out of Roxy. So, like, I feel like Roxy is definitely winning the title. But I don't know.
Also, little tiny thing here.
Yeah.
When, like, Roxy was doing her promo against Lyra and whatever. Mm-hmm. It was a little, like, it wasn't exactly, but it was a little hint of her mother, April, in that, because April did something similar to that years ago in a promo. Mm-hmm. Like, I seen a tweet, someone did, like, a back-to-back thing, and, like, it was almost spot on. It wasn't word for word, but almost exactly.
No. She is her mother's daughter.
Yes.
Not going to say that this is going to happen, but don't be too surprised if somewhere in the near future, mother and daughter do reunite.
Yes. Even though Punk said that that's not, like, he doesn't see that happening, just because you don't see it happening, don't mean it's not going to happen.
So then we had a Dijak promo, and Oba Femi was watching the Dijak promo, and he said, "It doesn't matter. I'm going to beat you both." And I'm like, okay. Like, I actually don't see how they beat you unless they both pin you at the same time, which, like, negates the win if that happens. Like, yeah.
No, they could go, like, fucking, like, old school and have, like, what you call it, dual champion.
Okay. And so Oba comes out, and then Joe Gacy comes out, and Joe Gacy gets attacked by Shawn Spears. He hits him in a chair, and Joe Gacy gets knocked out. So Oba throws Joe Gacy in the ring, starts fucking him up, and Oba throws Joe Gacy. Joe Gacy goes down, and the ref is like, yo, we got to stop this. And everybody's chanting Oba until the ref puts up the X. The ref goes, no. And everybody, the crowd, like, I've never heard the crowd just go, like, from Oba, ooh, Oba. And they just stopped. It was just the most dead silent thing. And it was so silent that when the commentators start talking, it was so eerie. They was like, dude. Wow, that is, it was like, yeah, Oba won. So let's go to the, so they went to the back, and Tatum is back there, and she's talking to Lyra, and she's like, Lyra, she was like, why did you do that? She was like, I'm tired of this shit. I'm tired of being this way. She's like, you told me that I had to be this way. He was like, so I'm going to be this way. And after she said that, Tatum's face, like, went from okay to, like, I'm sad. And I know exactly what this is. So Tatum wants her to be, like, this nice, good guy person. And because Lyra had this little twinge of being a bad guy, she's breaking her heart because, like, she wants her to be this hero. She's like, I want you to be this good guy, and I want you to do this, but this is the first time you've just, like, slipped into being a bad guy, and I don't like it. And I want to see where this goes. Like, I don't foresee Tatum being a champion, but I see them having a feud, and this is going to be, like, the thing that sets it off.
Yeah.
So then we have Ariana Grace versus Ren Sinclair. This was a total nothing match. Ariana wins. It just, yeah, it did nothing for me because, like, this didn't make no plot or anything. Ariana won. She won by cheating, and Booker T hit the old Kevin Kelly and said, oh, I didn't see anything. I was like, you saw it. I didn't see nothing. Nothing happened. I'm like, okay, dude. Like, fuck.
I'll tell you how much this match meant to me. I don't even remember who won, so you just reminded me there.
Yeah, no, Ariana Grace won. She definitely won. But it was funny because, like, as soon as she won with cheating, it was like, yeah, I didn't see anything. I don't know what happened. But yeah, like that was how that ended. So yeah. So then we go back to the dinner date, which I fucking hate. It's a fucking dinner date. And then we had Blair Davenport versus Sol Ruka. And Sol Ruka won. Sol Ruka won with the cartwheel DDT. And a lot of people was like, oh, like that move is so cool. And I'm like, dude, that is a move that Jack Cartwheel does and like 19 other people in fucking the indies do. And it's like, okay.
Like, it's more or less a basic move to us right now.
Yeah, it was a basic move, but everybody popped. It was like, oh my God, she did a move. I was like, okay, cool. So that was a thing. And so I seen a couple of pictures, and it was really fun. Because one was Mikey Whipwreck with Finn Balor, which is really fucking random, but it's really fun. I see Shawn Spears with Ricky Starks. And then I also seen, Nick Khan with Josh Barnett. I saw Minoru Suzuki with Natty. And I literally 5 seconds before this picture got posted, I was like, Shayna, you need to take a picture with Minoru Suzuki. And she did. So yeah, that was great. But yeah, WrestleMania is in full effect. So back to NXT, and Ava's in her office, and she's standing there, and all of a sudden, Joe Gacy pulls up. And Joe Gacy crawls up, and he's like, I want a match with Shawn Spears. And she's like, Joe, you know, fuck it, Joe. I'll give you the match. She was like, I'll give you the match.
No, you're kind of like... Like, understanding it though. He's fucked up crawling. He goes on the desk. Any normal human would be like, oh shit. He totally knows that. Like, hi, Joe. Like, yeah, you're used to him. You used to be part of his family.
Like, that shit was so.
I want the match. Okay, Joe.
That was so funny. That was so funny.
Yeah.
And then he just basically said, no, you got the match. The match is on. All right, fuck it. All right. And we just had the match. And then we had the closing segment. And it was fucking Mello versus Trick. And they were talking. And then Mello gave this example. I swear to God, when somebody said, that didn't make any sense, I was like, are you fucking stupid? Mello gave the example of an ex-girlfriend. He said the title was like an ex-girlfriend. Was like, yo, that was mine. And then you, like, after I lost it, you went after it. So how am I supposed to respect you and you don't respect the chain? Because in the regular world, normal world, with two friends, if you have an ex and you break up with the ex, I don't care how much you don't care about the ex. You just break up with her. You just broke up with her. And you're like, I'm done with her. And I just go snake behind you and say, you know what? I'm going to talk to her. That's not...
That's the bro code.
Yeah, you breaking the bro code. And he said that, like, he likened that to the title. And somebody was like, that's not a good analogy. It's like, once again, you're proving that you're not outside. You're just inside and you don't understand what stuff is. And it was a perfect analogy. And then...
It actually made me question whether or not Trick is the face in this situation or not. Because, like, I kind of was more on fucking Mello's side on that one. Like, I got it.
Exactly. Like, I'm glad that it was like that because it was so wild that it was like, yo, I don't know who is the bad guy here. So,
yeah.
And then they went and had their little brawl.
I've actually had friends like that in real life that were snakes and whatever, so mm-hmm. I get it.
Yep. And then they had the brawl, and then it was over. And then it's like, okay, I mean, why does this not have a title, and or why does this not have a stipulation? Somebody explain that to me.
I just got to say the line. You're switching like a Nintendo. That line from the fucking whole thing, I loved it.
Yeah, that shit was so good. Everything about it was so good. So, yeah, like, that was that. So, then, we just go to, before we get to Raw, we're going to go to a little bit of wrestling stuff that happened, which is Bloodsport. And
okay.
So I'm gonna be honest, I have no fucking idea what happened. So this is exactly what happened, because I saw this on Twitter before I saw it on the show. So about 10-15 minutes before it happened on the show, somebody goes, "Yo, Charlie Dempsey is wrestling at Bloodsport." Not just saying he's wrestling, with fucking picture of Charlie Dempsey wrestling at Bloodsport. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, how is he wrestling at Bloodsport? And not even joking, they had, like, it was picture, and this was like 20 minutes before it happened. So I log on, go to the app, and I'm like, okay, Bloodsport is just coming on. We're on the second match. And I'm like, oh, I must have missed them. So two matches later, Charlie Dempsey comes out to wrestle. And I'm like, the fuck? How did this happen? So I literally got back on Twitter, and I actually texted one of my friends. Like, she was watching it too. I'm like, hey, I saw that Charlie Dempsey came out like 20-30 minutes ago. Why did it just happen here? She was like, dude, it just happened on my side. What are you talking about? This is the live feed. So why did some random person on Twitter have the Charlie Dempsey? What is happening? Like, this was so random. Like, it was so random because it was on Twitter before it happened on the show. So I'm like, okay, this must be a taped show. And then the funny part, nobody knew anything else that happened. They just knew the Charlie Dempsey side. And I was so confused. I don't know what happened. It was random. It was fucking random.
I'm surprised that never was announced like they did with Shayna.
Yeah, I'm glad it wasn't, because it was so fun that it was just like randomly out of nowhere. It was like, okay, that's random shit. I was like, all right. So then we had fucking Nick Nemeth versus Speedball Mike Bailey. He fought Speedball Mike Bailey, and he won. He won with the zigzag and knocked him out. I was like, oh, shit, he won. Yeah, he knocked him out and won. So, yeah.
Wow.
So then we had Suzuki versus, who did Suzuki face? He fought somebody. And he beat the guy, and he fucking hit him with the tombstone, not the tombstone, the gotch pile driver, and choked him out and won. I was like, all right, cool. Then we had Timothy Thatcher versus Alexander Wolf. I don't even know his indie name. And Timothy Thatcher won. He won by knocking him the fuck out of the ring. He knocked Alexander Wolf out of the ring and got the win. I'm like, okay. And then we had Shayna Baszler. We had Shayna Baszler versus Masha Slamovich. And first Masha comes out. And she comes out with Jordynne Grace. I was like, okay, that's cool. And everybody's cheering Masha, because Masha, like, she's been the most of the Bloodsports, and she's like one of the Bloodsport favorites. So they cheer the shit out of her. They're like, yeah. And then Shayna comes out with Zoey, and they're booing the shit out of Shayna because she's from WWE. So they had this, like, they had this match, and the match is going. And everybody's like, okay, all right, cool. And then it just gets wild. It just goes off the fucking rails. Because, like, Masha hit Shayna with like a kick, and it kind of disoriented Shayna, and she like kept holding, she kept holding her chin, like the fuck, like damn, you hit me kind of hard. So she went back at her, and she was fucking her up. And then when Shayna put her in an ankle lock, Masha was kicking to get out of it, and she kicked her in the chin. Shayna lost her shit and just started stomping the back of her fucking head, and she just kept stomping her ref, like, no, 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 it's over, stop, 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 it's over, and stopped the match. Like, that was it.
Shayna's a fucking killer. Like, you can't tell by WWE, but she's a fucking killer.
Yes, and she stopped it and it was done. And then Josh Barnett, he fought Johnny Bloodsport, and he beat Johnny Bloodsport. So, yeah, he won. And that was Bloodsport.
Yeah.
And right before we started the show, there was a great match. There was a nostalgia match for us, kind of, because it was RVD versus Speedball Mike Bailey. And RVD came out with Bill Alfonso, and the referee was Jerry Lynn. Yeah, this hit all of the nostalgia for us.
I thought Lynn was going to fucking turn.
I wish he would have. But RVD won. He hit the frog splash, beat Speedball Mike Bailey. It was fucking awesome.
I loved it.
Yep. So Natty just posted a picture with her and Mina Shirakawa. So yeah, Natty was doing her fucking rounds all weekend, and that's awesome. I love it. This is one of the funnest WrestleManias, and I'm gonna tell you why this is one of the funnest WrestleManias. You wanna know why?
Okay.
Because all of the gloves are off. Like, all of the gloves are off, and nobody, like, literally gives a fuck. Like, the gloves are off. Like, no WWE person that they're saying, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. WWE people are literally mingling with everybody. Anybody on the indies, anybody from AEW, anybody from any promotion, they're fucking mixing it up with them. They're hanging out with these people, everybody they're hanging out with. And then on,
can we discuss the cage,
dude? We can talk about it. I mean, like, yeah. Fucking Drew McIntyre is working out with Brian Cage, like, what? And posted it on his fucking Twitter, like, not even hiding it, just posted it right on his fucking Twitter. I'm like, yo, what is happening? So,
like, what the fuck is going on?
Dude, CM Punk, Nia Jax, Braun Strowman, Brad, they were all at Bloodsport. They weren't hiding. They were all there. Nick Khan was there. Everybody was there. It was like, what is happening? And so,
that's fucking crazy.
According to some sources, Rossi Ogao is in town to talk to WWE. We've already seen him. He's already here. He's in town to talk to WWE. Also, TNA is supposed to be talking to WWE this week. And Julia pops up in Philly. Julia has no contractual obligations to be anywhere. She popped up in Philly earlier this morning. She was the first person I seen, was like, hi, I'm in Philly. I'm like, okay, that's not a thing. And she's in Philly, and people are already saying, I think she's going to be a stand and deliver, and I am 100% thinking she's going to be a stand and deliver, because Ava said she was talking to somebody, and she said, yeah, I can't wait to see you at stand and deliver. And I'm like, yeah, that feels like a thing.
Nah, she probably just going to Philly for the cheesesteak. Wink.
Yeah, or the cheesecake, like R-Truth said, which was fucking hilarious.
Right.
So that was a thing. So then we had a fucking Los Boricuas versus the FBI. So here's the thing. And this is like, some people will not get this, which makes this really fucking funny. So the FBI had a mystery person. And the mystery person of the FBI was Deanna Purrazzo. So,
yes, she's Italian.
Yes, that's the funny part. Like, a lot of people was like, wait, what? Yeah, she's full-blooded Italian, so she gets to be the FBI. So, yeah, that was awesome.
She's probably one of the, like, only true Italian members, except for Guido.
Right?
Like, there's only one or two of them that's actually real.
Exactly. That is so fun. So,
yes.
Back to WWE. And Monday Night Raw. And Raw started off with the final boss. And he comes out and he says his thing. And then all of a sudden, here comes Roman Reigns. So Roman Reigns and the final boss, they come out. They basically talk a little shit. To be honest, they didn't say much of nothing. They literally didn't threaten anybody. They didn't say shit. They just was talking. And then Seth Rollins showed up. And Seth Rollins was like, yo, listen, I want to fight one of you. I want to fight The Rock or Roman Reigns. Either one of you. I don't care. Tonight. And it was like, you know what? You ain't fighting either one of us. You're fighting solo. Okay. Like,
how, and it's Bloodline rules.
Yeah. How did you like this beginning promo? It was just like nothing got accomplished.
It was okay up until then, mind you, okay. Like, exactly, nothing got accomplished or whatever. I would have been way more hype if it was Rock versus Rollins, whatever, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But nothing.
Yeah, I still feel like what happened last week couldn't be topped. Like, what happened last week could not be topped. It was so top tier that, like, you couldn't top that. And so something happened on the backstage after this, which made me like literally go, what the fuck is going on? Because on WWE social media, they posted The Rock coming back through the curtain and he was angry. And The Rock literally said, I don't give a fuck. They didn't bleep it on fucking social media. It was like on their Twitter. It was like, The Rock's like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. And he walked off and I'm like, Is anybody gonna believe this? Like, this is not supposed to be. No, it's cool. And he just left it. I'm like, what is happening with WWE now? Like, do they not give a fuck anymore?
Rock's the boss, the final boss.
Yeah. So then we had an 8-person match, and it was Judgment Day versus DIY and New Day. And I'm not going to lie, I don't even remember this match at all. I don't remember shit that happened in this match. The only thing I do remember in this match is what Cole said. What Michael Cole said, and this changed like the whole direction of the tag team ladder match. Because Michael Cole said, the match doesn't end when you pull down one set of tag belts. And I was like, oh. So they're going with the theory that we had, both sets of tag belts are going to get split that way. So I was like, okay.
Yes.
And like the funny part was like, if nobody like listened to what he said, it just would have been like, this is a throwaway line. So.
But they're going there.
Yep. So then we get a little training montage of Sammy and Chad Gable, and Chad's training up Sammy and telling him what to do and how he's going to beat Gunther, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to train, Sammy. You got to stay focused. And you got to do this. And I'm like, okay. That's all I can say is okay. And Sammy gets ready because he has a match with Bronson Reed later on in the show. And I'm like, okay, well, sure. All right. Like,
I matched from last week.
Yeah, like, the funny part is, like, I don't care because I know where this is going. And I know where I think I know where this is going. And I would rather it go this way. And I don't care about anything else because I want it to go this way. Because everybody will get satisfied if it goes this way. So we have to have it go this way. So Then we have a backstage thing with Judgment Day, and Legado del Fantasma comes up, and Rhea's like, yo, what the fuck is going on? Dom's like, yo, this is my partner. I brought him in. And then Damon Priest is like, what are you doing? Like, what is happening? He was like, dude, I got this. And Priest was like, yo, I got to go do something. And they're all standing there, and Finn was the only one who speaks Spanish to fucking Santos. And Santos looks at him for a second, was like, the fuck? Like, it was funny as it, because he said it, and Santos was like, the fuck? Like, you speak Spanish? It was great.
Mind you, Damien speaks Spanish, so it's like, what the fuck?
No, no, Finn. Finn spoke Spanish, and he was like, what the fuck?
No, that's what I mean. Like, Damien speaks Spanish, mm-hmm. and he didn't speak Spanish.
Yeah, it was really fucking funny. So, yeah. Bronson Reed is taking on Sammy, and then Gunther brings out Chad Gable and beats the shit out of Chad Gable out in front of Sammy, and he's trying to distract him. Sammy gets the win. He beats Bronson Reed. Then Sammy goes out and gets his ass kicked by a fucking Gunther. And it's like, okay, cool. So, yeah. Like, everybody was like, oh, yeah, Sammy's going to win. And I don't know about that, pal. Like, that's how I feel about it. Like, I don't know about that one, pal. Like, I'm not
going to mean that win.
Listen, I'm not going to give my predictions yet because we're going to do the predictions on another show and not this show.
Okay.
Because we still got time. And then we get a random ass occurrence. We get Jey Uso meeting Lil Wayne, and Lil Wayne says, I'm going to drop my new song at WrestleMania, and also I'm going to be at WrestleMania. And I'm just like, what is happening? When did wrestling become really cool again? Like, it's really cool again because, like, Wayne is like, nah, I'm part of WrestleMania. What is happening?
And notice Jay is the one meeting everybody. Like, he's the new cool guy.
Yes. So then we had a tag team match, and we had Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupri versus Candice and Indy. And Candice is trying to get Indy to cheat. Indy's not wanting to cheat, and Indy bumps into Candice. And Indy gets pinned by Maxine. And Candice is pissed. And Indy, like, I see Indy actually turning heel because, like, she's going to realize what Candice been saying. Like, I kind of see that happening.
Yeah. Everybody thinks it's going to be the other way around, but I 100% agree with that. Like, she's going to go with her.
Yeah, and I'm like, I want that because it feels like it's going to be fun. It feels like it's going to be fun. So
there's a little hint of it if you listen closely. Mm-hmm. When they came out, they quote unquote came out to Indy's music, mm-hmm. where like it starts off impressive, right? Mm-hmm. But that was the Wave music, which it was a heel group, if you remember.
Yeah, she's definitely turning heel. If she doesn't turn heel, it's a missed opportunity. Like, I know to be fun because like they'll have beef, but I want them to at least turn heel for a little while, and then you can turn Indy against her and they can have beef. But other than that, just like keep it Indy and Candice together as a heel. So,
because that match against each other would be good. Mm-hmm. So, but like, yeah, both of them heel for now.
So then we had a funeral for people's WrestleMania's hopes and dreams. And it was done by fucking Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre is one of the greatest. He's one of the greatest.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that this is a spoiler. But they 100% said, hey, listen, we have something coming up that we're going to announce later. And CM Punk on that podcast that he did with Ariel Helwani, he said, I may be available when we go somewhere across the seas. And it wasn't fully announced yet. And then they announced it on Tuesday that in Glasgow, Scotland, Clash of the Castle 2 on June 15th. And I want you to remember that date, June 15th. because when we do when we do our predictions, that will come into play. That will come into play. But like I said, I'm full spoilers and predictions on the next podcast, which is going to go after SmackDown and fucking Supercard of Honor and Rampage. It's going to be after that. That's going to be the next one. So we're going to get back to Raw. And we have Ricochet versus Ivar. And they're having this match. And Ricochet one time tweeted, because somebody tweeted like an old Ricochet thing, and Ricochet does the 630. And he was like, yeah, like I missed the old Ricochet. He did a 630. And he was like, yeah, I'll do it one day again. And this was like 2 years ago. And in this match with Ivar, he did a 630. And once again, Pat and Michael Cole keep calling this man Prince Puma. Like, they keep getting around calling him Prince Puma, and they keep saying it slightly. Prince and Puma right back to back. And it's like, yeah, you're calling him Prince Puma.
Yes.
We got it. It's,
yes.
Like, it's so funny.
There also was a spot there where fucking Ricochet like power slammed Ivar. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he's fucking awesome. And then Judgment Day, and Legato is still back there playing fucking darts. And then Andrade comes up and fucking Rhea says, dude, Andrade, we have something for you next week. You're going to take on Ricochet, and you're going to get rid of our Ricochet problem. Okay. And they just went to the ring, and Becky comes out. And it's funny because earlier in the day, Becky assaulted Rhea on the Ariel Helwani show, because Rhea was getting interviewed on the Ariel Helwani show. So Becky came over. Like, Becky called him. Becky literally called him on the phone, was like, yo, what are you doing? And he was like, yeah, I'm interviewing somebody. She was like, well, who are you interviewing? And he's like, I'm interviewing Rhea Ripley. She's like, yeah, well, I'm on my way over there. He was like, no, I don't think that's good. No, she's like, no, I'm on my way over there. And she just hung up. And she came over there and confronted Rhea. And then she came out, she called out Rhea, and Pierce was like, you two are not going to fight. I have a bunch of security. Nothing's going to happen. So Rhea threw the title at him. He got confused, and she beat the shit out of security. And then her and Becky had a brawl, and they got pulled apart.
That was fucking hilarious.
Got the title thrown at him, and he just fucking crumbled. Like, I don't know. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, do better, Pierce. And he's like, no, I can't. It was funny. So then we had Damage Control, and they basically were talking about, hey, we got a match coming up, and we're going to beat the shit out of some people. And the people that they were going to beat up was Shayna, Zoe, and Tegan Nox. I was confused because Tegan was a face. I thought Tegan was a face. Also, I thought Zoe and Shayna were heels, but Damage Control are heels. So who's the good guy and who's the bad guys here?
In this case, Shayna and Zoe are face. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was very fucking random. I was like, what the fuck? And of course, you know, Damage Control won because, like, everybody else on the other team aren't doing anything at WrestleMania. Damage Control needs to show dominance because they're going to WrestleMania. And it's like, okay, cool. I mean, it's not bad.
And they were dominant as shit, too. Like, a little bit too dominant, if you ask me, but okay.
Yeah. So then we had the main event, and it was a Bloodline Rules match. And it was Seth Rollins versus Solo Sikoa. And to be honest, the match is still going on because there was no bell that rung that said the match was over. So the match is still going on to me. And The Rock showed up. And Roman showed up. And they beat the shit out of him. And Cody showed up. And it was this spot. Rock's on the table and he's about to get beat down. And Roman comes out of nowhere, and Roman trips over thing on the fucking floor. But if you watch it, it is the smoothest trip because Roman trips and he technically arm drags Seth Rollins because he, instead of just like going down, he grabs Seth and flips him over and he just fucking arm drags him. I was like, what the fuck just happened? And you watch it back, he fucking slips. That's what happens. And so Roman and Rock beat the shit out of Seth and Cody. They beat him down. They take the belt. They whoop him, whip him, whip him, whip him, whip him, whip him, whip him. And then they just stand up, and Rock is holding the Cody leather strap, and Roman's holding the world title. And that's how they go off the air. And I was like,
They whipped the referee at one point.
Yeah, they whipped the referee. And, like, after this, like, I was like, To me, it just was like, this is the go-home show to WrestleMania, and this is it? Like,
yeah.
That's how I felt. I was like, this is it? Like, this isn't, like... To me, it wasn't, like, nothing special, because, like, last week was, like, it felt special. I was like, wow, this is actually really fucking cool. This week, it just felt like, Like, this is how I felt. I was like, It's... whatever.
They should have inverted it. What happened this week should happen last week, and vice versa.
Yeah, because if what happened last week happened this week, everybody would have lost their shit. Like, everybody would have lost their fucking shit. They were like, oh my God, like, we're going in WrestleMania with this? It's like, yeah, no, that's the way we're going. But this week it's like,
Exactly.
Like, it's a huge show. Everybody's down with it, but everybody's like, I mean, it is what it is. Like, that's how.
Like, I care about it, but the point of the fucking go-home show, you're supposed to make me care more. I don't care no more, no less. I care as much as I did before.
Yeah, like, that's how I feel, too. I was like, it's supposed to make me feel something, but it's like, That's how I feel, like,
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is what it is, so... Yeah, we're going to wrap it up here because we still got a lot to cover on the next episode because we got a bunch of shows more to cover. So,
yeah.
So, any last words for right now?
No Diddy parties.